This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good post-Derby Monday, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's May 4th, episode 1161, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Ready for the start. They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And American Pharoah broke okay. He's on the outside of horses, and Dortmund is out even better, and Carpe Diem is there, and Firing Line's in the early mix, too. It's going to be Dortmund to set the pace here in the Kentucky Derby. Firing Line on the outside is second. American Pharoah is third to the outside of them. Carpe Diem is right there. Dancing Moon is close and running in between horses. Then Follow. Mr. Z is after that, and then Ocho, Ten Sender. Upstart is three wide as they move into the turn. He's eight lengths off the lead. Then the World Traveler. Move Tahi just down on the inside. Hits a knockout is next. Materiality farther behind than we expected. And then comes Frosted, War Story, Keen Ice, and Fremento near the back of the field. And the trailer is far right as they make their way to the back stretch. It is Dortmund in front. He went a half mile in an easy 47 and 1/5 seconds. Dortmund, the leader up the back stretch, a half a length. And Gary Stevens has Firing Line right in second position. And American Pharoah will be third up the back stretch. He's 2.5 lengths off of his stablemate. Carpe Diem follows in fourth. Dancing Moon is fifth, and he's 5 lengths off the lead. Then Bolo on the outside of Ocho. Move Tahij is 7 lengths behind. And then it's Mr. Z, Upstart, Ten Sender is after that, and it's a knockout, and they're rounding the far turn. And Dortmund is the leader. He's on top by a half length, and Firing Line confronts him. And American Pharoah has come under a ride as Firing Line takes the lead outside of Dortmund. Here comes American Pharoah, and he sweeps up on the far outside, and they're into the stretch, and it's American Pharoah who has taken the lead on the outside. In between horses is Firing Line. Dortmund is down at the rail as they come into the final furlong. American Pharoah, Firing Line, not done yet, and these two come into the final 16th. It's American Pharoah in front, Firing Line. Dortmund is third, Frosted is fourth, coming to the finish. American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby. Firing Line was second, Dortmund was third, Frosted finished fourth in a final time of 2:03.02 seconds. Victor Espinosa has won the Kentucky Derby 2 years in a row.
My gosh. Is that horse amazing? It was just like he had this gear, and Dortmund, I had no idea Dortmund would get out to the front. It's like he got out to the front, and he was like, crap, what am I doing out here? And so he kind of slowed down a little bit, getting pressed by Firing Line the whole way, but he was like, that's not his typical style, I don't think. So he was out to the front, which is a good place to be. It seems like you can be one of the first 5 horses, and the other 15 don't even have a chance. Like, if you don't break good, you don't matter. Unless right. You're Calvin Burrell on Super Saver. But obviously that's a little different. What an amazing race. And then to see American Pharoah come around that corner, and then he's totally pushed to the outside by Firing Line. And to have, like, he clicks another gear, and then clicks another gear, and then clicks another gear, and won the race. It was super exciting. I was disappointed.
Close, though. I mean, Firing Line really was the one that impressed me in that race, because he pushed from the very beginning. I mean, he was there from the start and really pushed at the end there and almost had it. I mean, and Jennifer, by the way, picked Firing Line to win. So let's just apologize now to everybody who decided to listen to us. We told you not to, and to bet on the ones we thought would win, because that was a mistake. We tell you every time.
We do. You know, it's not like we're like handicappers and we're like, this is the pick. It's going to be 4-7. No, we're like, literally, this is our favorite, so don't bet it. We told
you. I told you not to do Keen Ice, who came in 7th, by the way. for all you Keen Ice people. Frosted, who came in fourth. So I had all my horses in the top seven. Does that count?
No, that counts for nothing. No. And you know what's amazing is I actually bet a trifecta. And, you know, I didn't – no, but none of us wanted to pick American Pharoah because he was such the heavy favorite when we were talking on Friday. I think odds evened out a little bit more on Saturday. I think he went to like 3-1 or 4-1 by the race time. But you know, none of us wanted to pick him, but I did put him in my trifecta on my app that I bet with, which I have been told – I am no longer allowed to do.
Has it been uninstalled from your phone? Has it been deleted?
You know, it's just, Chad wasn't here. He was working all day Saturday. The reservists have to do that. And so he came home and he was like, let's watch the race. And of course, I've already watched it. I'm like, okay, let's do it. So we sit down and he knows I've already watched it. And I, you know, I wasn't going to say anything. If he had asked, I would have said something. But at the end, I was like, yup, Firing Line just ruined my trifecta. What do you mean? You ruined your trifecta. Nothing, honey.
Nothing, dear.
And then I also might have bet, you know, the horse that was in the 19th post, my gosh, I can't remember his name. I bet him because he was like 76-1. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of people that watched the 50-1 that wish they would have put money on him. So, you know, I might have put a little there. And then, oh, at the last second, I might have bet another horse. You know, it's just a really bad idea to have an app on your phone that lets you bet.
I got to ask you, did Upstart come up lame or something? Because a lot of people picked Upstart, and he came in last. I didn't know if he had pulled up lame. Have you read anything?
I don't know if he pulled up lame, but they pulled him up. You know, I think a lot of times when you're that far out, I mean, there were two horses. One was like 30 lengths from the lead.
Yeah, that would be Ten Sender, the horse we talked about that had a relationship to the Reeves.
Yeah, I think they just pulled them up. So, I mean, they're like, why keep pushing for them to go across the finish line? I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything. But that's what I would think. So it was an exciting race. And now you guys know this is what we do is we go, okay, American Pharoah for the Triple Crown. Let's do
right.
it.
I saw a ton of articles this morning already. Is American Pharoah the one? It's like they write him and just change the names each year.
Okay,
they could do that.
California Chrome, enter American Pharoah.
Hey, we also apologize to everybody who took our bets for the Oaks, too, because we did so well there. I'm a chatterbox, though, came in third. So I had that one. I had that one in the mix. But no,
I do believe that I said there was nobody who was going to beat Awesome Maria, but then I came in with Puka because I had connections. So Jennifer, look back at the picks. I'm pretty sure I had the horse that won.
Oh, Glenn has the list. I gave it to Glenn. Glenn, big mistake.
I don't have written down what you picked for. Sorry.
I picked the winner. But I think I put her in second place.
I don't think we have proof of that. Somebody will have to tell us. So they'll have to listen back.
We have proof from last Friday, and you're going to have to go review. But I'm pretty – well, I just didn't think anybody could beat that horse, and it's true. Nobody could beat it. But I also thought
– you should have bet on that one. It paid $14.60 to win.
I know. But she wouldn't have won if I'd have bet.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
So it works well.
That trifecta actually paid almost $400 for the trifecta for the Oaks. It paid pretty well.
This is my problem, Glenn, is that I see that price and I'm like, I'm going to hit one. But Mubtahi finished in eighth place and bless his heart, he's flying back to England. Although I do want to tell you that right now, Dortmund and American Pharoah and Firing Line are all three pointed for the Preakness. So... who knows what's going to happen? Rematch.
That's talking up. Hey, one quick thing here. I would catch the audience up. If you remember right, we had Billy Goodman on, who is a groom to Todd Pletcher Friday. He was coming to us from the backside, and he gave us a tip that we all should have taken and none of us did, and that is that his horse he takes care of, Competitive Edge, was going to be in race 5. Well, Competitive Edge won the $200,000 Pat Day Mile that day. So did you bet on him? Your little app?
Well, You know what? I was actually, I went to bet on him, and it was like 4-5. That horse was such the heavy favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I would have made 20 cents on my bet, which at this point I would have taken, looking back.
20 cents, but I have yesterday.
Exactly. Now I know. Now I was like, I'll save my money for the Derby. I'll save wasting my money for the Derby. God bless. But
yeah,
yeah,
well, there
that
you
horse
go.
Was a serious favorite. And it did well. We should have listened. We got to have that guy. Let's start asking him his picks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, congratulations to Billy Goodman for his horse's win. I'm sure that that Todd sends a little bit their way when their horses win. I can see him doing that. Good job. The only winner on the show here for the weekend. Jennifer.
Yes.
You're
what
up.
It is on today's show. You're up.
on
your
today's
turn.
Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition. Well, usually you say, Jennifer, what's on today's show? Not just, yeah. On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, once we have fully covered the results from Derby weekend, we will also relive our co-host weekend adventures. And then Dr. Chang will stop by with the lowdown on hormone and liver support. And then the Wacky World of Horse Nation features plenty of laughs to get your entry into the work week a little softer. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
I can cover liver support in two words. Don't drink. There, done. We got liver support covered. Well, we are doing My Daily Winnie for, well, a new baby. How can we not acknowledge the second biggest news story over the weekend? And that is the new princess that was born. She was 8 pounds, 3 ounces. And they don't have a name yet. They're looking at naming her. Well, it could be odds on favorites. There's a lot of betting going on this in England right now. Charlotte or Alice. I don't see Alice. I don't remember an Alice in the family tree. They usually go with a name that, you know, has been used before. So I don't know. But this, you know, this particular couple, you know, Kate and William have been breaking a lot of the rules. So who knows? It could be an Alice.
You know what I really, really hope, and as soon as I saw that it was a girl, they have to put Diana in her name.
Yeah, it'll be one. You know, these royals all have about 25 names with about 16 middle names, so you know that Diana is going to be like the second middle name. You know,
I hope it's in there somewhere.
It'll be Charlotte, Diana, you know, Alice, Gertrude, and then there'll be three others. Too.
Whatever name they use is going to be now the most popular baby name for 2015.
Exactly. You're right. That's exactly what will happen. Yep, that's exactly what will happen. Well, this baby is fourth in line to the throne. Charles is first, of course, who will never get it because his mom's never going to die. Prince William is second, and then Prince George, her brother, and then it's her. And, of course, that only could happen because Queen Elizabeth change the rules so that a woman could take the crown and in succession, but she's the one that changed the rules. So her grandmother could be responsible for her becoming queen one day.
Nice. Love it.
That's the scoop.
My turn.
I'm trying. It's going to play here shortly.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to my dear friend Macy and my former horse and riding partner, Jet, Fighter Jet. They went to their first ever Hunter Jumper show yesterday as a team. Both of them have been individually now. Macy has been a hunter for her whole life, but got out of riding and showing about 5 years ago, and now she's back, and she has Jet. And so myself and some of our other girls here went to support her and watch her, and she was awesome. And Jet, I don't even know who that is. You guys know all the BS that I have been with that horse through. It's so irritating that he jumped in the trailer. She loaded him without even getting in the trailer. She loads him from the outside of the trailer. He goes in. He stands there. get him all done. He unloads off the trailer. He, like, totally falls asleep. She tacks him up, takes him to the warm-up area, which is the where I got nervous. I was like, uh-oh, here he goes, the warm-up area. Trots around like an old show pony. Goes in, jumps everything. I was like, what
You know
the
what
hell?
That
I
mean, means. You know what that means.
What does that mean?
It was you the whole time.
I think I like to say I just rode him through all his badness and now he's actually trained. That's the way I'm going to think about it. But I'm kind of frustrated at watching him be this like a wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm like, who are you? I don't like you anymore. Because he's so good to her. He's so nice to her. And I just look at him. I'm like, now I know. And you know I know. You know I know you know. What are we doing here? But they did well. Their first class, they actually won. She ended up, she did three classes, and she got first, second, and third. So I couldn't have been more proud. So I think they got reserve champion, but we left. And I did take Thor with me. I did not compete him. His whole idea was that I was going to take him and hop on him and ride him around the showgrounds.
And for new listeners, this is the Mustang that Jamie just adopted, what, a month ago? 4 weeks?
Yeah, it says yeah. 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
His first trip
away from home. Yep, okay.
Yes. So on Saturday afternoon, we practiced trailer loading, and he did really well. You know, I did the whole Monty Roberts system, getting back and in and back and in and out and in and out. It was great. And so Saturday morning, he jumps right in the trailer, no problem. And then we traveled. And he was not super excited when we got to the showgrounds, even though Jet was super calm. Jet was like the one to lean on. Such a liar. So Jet gets out, and he's like leaning on Jet. He's like, oh, my God, where are we? He was pretty nervous. At one point, we decided to take them for a walk, and we were walking, and I'm leading him. And Jet, actually, she's like, I'm going to take him to the round pen area and go lunge him. So I said, okay, we're just going to stay here. Yeah, we were not going to stay there. At this point, Thor, he said his friend has left him all alone, and there's all these horses and kids and ponies, and I'm standing by the arena. His head shoots up. He starts whinnying. I'm like, oh, crap, I better start walking over to Jet because he's going to lose it. So we start walking. At this point, Thor rears up in the air.
Oh, no.
Like whinnying because his buddy is gone. He's very insecure. Oh, I don't want to be that girl. I was that girl. We were in warm up with children and ponies, and here my Mustang is rearing. I didn't think about being that girl. Gosh darn it. So we ended up having to catch up, and I ended up putting him in the round pen and working him a little bit. And suffice to say, I did not ride him at the show, but we had a nice positive experience with learning that you won't die when you go somewhere. So he came home, and it was like...
Did he calm down after a bit then?
You know, I had rented these stalls and these pens, and he did come. Once we got back over to Jet, he was up and he was wild-eyed, but he was good after that, after I put him in the round pen. And I let him back, and he was tense the whole time. But I let him back, put him back in the stall, and he watched. And I walked him around a couple different times through the day. But I didn't want to walk him over to Jet, who was showing, because then it would just stress Jet out, potentially.
Right.
So he didn't get as much mileage as I was hoping he would, just because I didn't realize the separation anxiety. And now that, you know, when horses ride in the trailer together, they become absolute best friends in the
best
whole wide world. Even though they hate each other at home, they're like, oh my God, you're my best friend in the world. Don't leave me. Why do they do that?
Well, something's better than nothing.
I guess.
And port the storm.
That's right.
I want to be your best friend, though. Like, let me be your best friend. But
that doesn't always happen with humans, does it? You're stuck with another person that maybe was not your best friend to begin with on the road trip that lasts for, 2 days in the car. You don't always get out being best friends, do you? It's not so much a thing with humans. No.
That's true. You're like, get the hell away from me.
Yeah, try to reverse, exactly. That's right. The horses, maybe the horses have it right. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he survived this trip. That was a necessity. You had to do it. I mean, that you got to get him out. So.
Yep.
You have to
we'll do it more.
Well, get the sound file ready. You can go ahead and get the sound file ready because I have a Scooter story.
I was going to ask you how Scooter is.
Well, we've been working with him, and you know, a couple of weeks ago, Wendy.
Tell everybody who Scooter is.
The new listeners. I rescued a Hackney pony about 2 years ago now. And he was starving, about ready to die, and within a couple of days. And we've been working on him and getting him. I'm a driver, so we've been getting him driving in the cart and doing his thing. Well, for the first time after all this time, we took him out, and we go out on the roads here in the neighborhood, which is an equestrian community, so there's no traffic. It's a perfect place to go. And Jennifer rides her horse, rides Speaker ahead of us usually, because Scooter tends to bolt less if we do that. So we were riding the other day, and for the first time, he actually picked up a proper road trot on the road the other day, which means going faster than a slug, which is his usual speed of the trot. But he definitely picked up a road trot, and he was ready to go on a road trot. So that's telling me that mentally and physically, he's getting someplace. We've been doing interval training. There you go. My little pony. Yeah, Beaker had to canter to keep up with Scooter's trot. So,
oh, fun, Jen.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Scooter was flying. I got to tell you, when you got a pony that's been known to bolt before, my trust isn't totally there yet, especially on the roads. So my trust isn't totally there. When he picks up a proper road trot, it's a little tiny bit scary because you can tell he's just on the verge of being out of control. And, you know, I got to get through that. You know, once we got to build some trust there, once we get through that, it'll be fun. I'm not saying that the road trot was necessarily fun the other day because you always just know that you're a hair away from not being in control. So that's getting better. It is definitely getting better.
Have you had him 2 years already?
I know. It was June. No. Wasn't it June or July, Jennifer? I think it was 2 years. Yeah, so he's doing good. He's doing real good. You know, Dr. Wendy Ying is host of the driving radio show a couple weeks ago. You could do this with horses, too. She did it. She talked to us about it for driving. She did two episodes on interval training for your driving horse. So we've been doing that with him to build up because she wants him to be able to go 12 miles at a trot without a break by January. And yeah, exactly. That's what they expect you to do with the driving horses. So she wants him to be able to do that by January. And boy, the interval training has really helped him. Really has.
Good.
Is it 2 years, Jennifer? I heard you open.
July of 2013.
Yeah, it's almost 2 years.
Wow. Time flies.
I know.
And I realize I've had Thor for 2 months, so I've made it 2 months with the Mustang. Thank you very much.
There you go. Hey, I see a friend of ours got two more Mustangs too, Elisa Wallace.
She did. She went and got a Palomino who's named Emmett and a Chestnut that is named Wager. And Wager is so cute because he's actually got a perfect dollar sign on his forehead. And people were like, name a dollar. I'm like, there's no way she would name her horse something as boring as dollar. And she came up with Wager. I love it. It's great.
Hey, speaking of which, it just reminded me, when you were watching the races the other day, did you see the Perchalusa pony horse at the races? That's what I named
didn't.
Perchalusa.
Did you
see
even
Percheron?
Know what that is.
A Percheron, the big, huge pony horse that was they used him it was toward the end of the Kentucky Derby when they were leading the horses out. It was a huge Percheron Appaloosa because it had these white spots on its butt. It was a mix of some kind, but the horse was huge.
I didn't see it, but I don't. My radar is not attuned to big draft horses, so you probably picked up on it. Who was it leading?
It was leading one of the last two, I think 19 maybe, but the thoroughbred looked tiny. It was so funny. Jennifer, can you write that down in our book of made-up horse names, Percheron?
Yes, Percheron. Got it.
That's pretty good, actually. I like that one. So write that
like
one
Brangelina.
Down.
It's a celebrity name.
We have to publish that book of names. We have come up with a few over the last 5 years. We have to publish that at some point. Hey, before we go to commercial and get to Dr. Chang, we saw the Age of Ultron, the Avengers movie, yesterday. We went at 10:40 in the morning, which, you know, I thought, well, nobody's going to be there at Sunday morning 10:40, right? The theater was packed. I mean,
seriously?
Packed. And they must have had 25 showings that day. It's showing in non-3D, 3D. It's showing in IMAX. I mean, they really did have and I bet you everyone was full. By the time we came out of the theater, there was not a space in the parking lot. That movie is so popular. And we've gone to very few packed movies here in Ocala, very few, but that one was packed. It was good. If you go in expecting an Avengers movie where it's going to be action from beginning to end with very, you know, with a minimal amount of plot and a lot of beating up and shooting, it's perfect. They did that well. They introduced. Yeah?
Go ahead.
Well,
of course.
Yeah, and then they did introduce some new Avengers to the equation this time. So you get three new ones in this movie.
Okay, the question that I want to know, and that every woman wants to know, is A, we
yes,
know
he had
Thor
two lines and he delivered them poorly.
You watch Sorry. Your mouth. I want to know, was Thor shirtless at any point?
Yes.
In this movie.
Yes.
Yay! Okay, I'm in.
See, it's interesting Jennifer can answer that because I was just thinking about it and went, I don't know. And Jennifer was like,
and I knew the question before Jay even asked it.
So they did figure out a way to make it Thor shirtless.
Yes.
That's damn good because they don't let him talk much, and thank God. Yes. Because
and it's glaringly obvious the only reason that scene is there is so that Chris Hemsworth can be shirtless.
Yes. Yeah. Pretty much.
I know not who you speak of, this Chris Hemsworth. All I know is Thor. Yeah.
They actually did give him more lines this time. He had a few more lines than he usually does in this movie. It was a good movie.
He's super popular, and he's very famous, and he's a very good actor. I don't know what you're talking about. All I can see is that your jealous nature is pushing its way through.
That's it. That is it. What would you say, Jennifer? I would say the plot was pretty almost predictable in this one. It was pretty predictable in this one.
Well, the plot line was predictable, but we did get some really fun and interesting new character development
amongst
current characters. Yeah.
And if you've been following, this franchise has done this better than any franchise in history. I don't know if you watch the TV show. What's the TV show called again, Jennifer? The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it follows that storyline. This week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ended where the movie picked up. They did a good job of coordinating all of those together. They do a really good job of that. James Spader plays the bad guy in this movie, and you don't ever see him. He's a robot, but let me tell you what. There is nobody that plays a bad guy better than James Spader.
No way. He's amazing. He is amazing.
Even if it's just his voice sends shivers up your spine. I mean, it's just and he plays himself. Pretty much what you see in Blacklist is James Spader. He just plays the same character in every show or movie he's ever been in, but it's damn good. It's really good.
Yeah, he's super creepy. To realize that he was like an 80s drugged out actor. Like, I mean, he played the 80s. Remember he was in, what was the movie he was in, Jennifer? Was it Pretty in Pink? He was like Blaine, the snobby friend. Oh, I'm getting it wrong. Gosh darn it. Let me look it up. People are going to be mad at me.
I don't know. I don't know what that was.
You don't remember James Spader being in bad 80s movies or great 80s movies?
No, I don't remember. What's the first thing I remember him in is Boston Legal. That's the first thing I remember him in.
All right, hold on. Here we go. He was in Mannequin in 1987. He was in Less Than Zero in 1987. And both of these were starring Andrew McCarthy, who's Andrew McCarthy? Exactly. He was my, total 80s crush. So James Spader always played the bad guy
in all those movies. Sex, Lies, and Videotape, he was in that one. There's another one that he was in that was Pretty in Pink. He was Steph in Pretty in Pink. There you go.
He was in Pretty in Pink? James Spader was in Pretty in Pink?
Really? He was Blaine's best friend, sort of best friend, and he thought that there was no way he should be hanging out with Molly Ringwald because she was like, are you kidding me? She's like nowhere near as cool and rich as you are. And he was like a total, you got to look it up. It's hilarious.
Who knew? I didn't know he was in that. The first thing I ever remember James Spader in was Boston Legal. And he was really good in Boston Legal, too. I mean, he didn't play the kind of evil character. He played a demented character, but not evil. That's the first one I remember him in.
So,
boy,
yeah.
I guess I didn't watch enough bad 80s movies. Maybe that was it.
And
like you did.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, it's 80s romantic comedies. Just come on. Are you kidding me?
Well, we'll give, we give it 5 out of 6 flakes and a bail. Worth seeing.
Well, that's
go
great.
Have some fun. Yeah, go have some fun. We saw it in 2D. We did not see it in 3D because that makes Jennifer sick. So I can't tell you how the 3D effects and stuff were. If you get sick in 3D, probably this is not a good one because there's a lot of movement and a lot of action. So it's probably not a good one to watch in 3D if you get sick. Yeah. But
yeah, I just don't like wearing glasses. Kind of rules it out for me. God, Lord willing, I won't need them anytime soon. Well, let's play the commercial, and then we're going to get to Dr.
Nope,
Chang.
No commercial. We're
him.
Going right to Dr. Chang.
Oh, Dr. Chang is our commercial. That's right. Dr. Chang, it's time to catch up with him on hormones and liver support. Of course, he is the owner and chief formulator at Omega Alpha Equine, and we welcome you. Good morning, Dr. Chang.
Good morning. How are you?
Dr. Chang, did you notice that your title changes every time she introduces you?
I noticed that. I've been called many things, but a commercial is not one of them yet. This is a new one.
And our chief formulator. I like
yes,
that
formulator.
One.
Yeah, you should put that on your business card. That sounds official.
Hey, I change the light bulbs when they need to be changed. I'll have you know that. Maintenance guy.
Tall.
Maintenance guy.
You're tall, so that works.
Yeah. Have
you seen the movie Age of Ultron, Dr. Chang? Are you a sci-fi fanatic?
Well, not a fanatic. I like to see sci-fi movies. No, but I haven't seen The Age of Ultron. How is it? I've heard good things about it.
5 out of 6 flakes, Dr. Chang. Go see it. Go see it.
5 out of 10 is not a resounding yes, I should go see it.
No, it's 5 out of 6.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 out of 6. Yeah, it was good.
And if you ask his wife, it's 6 out of 6 because Thor was shirtless in the movie, Dr. Chang. And that's what matters. I'm in. I'm going to go see it.
as a friend of mine used to say, pictures of food does not fill a hungry man. Take that as it may.
I got to tell you, though, there's nobody hungry in that franchise. It made $187 million over the weekend.
Wow. Wow.
That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
You know, if it could make 287, they would have Thor shirtless the entire movie.
That should be his costume. Like, you know, he has that whole, like, breastplate chest thing. He needs to just lose that. And they'll be, okay, let's move on.
No.
Speaking of hormones.
How are you? Yeah, speaking of hormones. So what are we going to talk about today, Dr. Chang?
We're talking about liver health and hormone health, I think it is. Right?
Okay, Chang.
Now, I know I've spoken about the liver before, but I just want to reiterate about how important the liver is. You know, the liver is important because it converts sugars into fat. It helps and it converts fats and so on back into sugars. It is also your chief organ of detoxification for the body. So it's the factory that basically takes all of those toxins that we get in from the outside, converts it to a form which can then be excreted back into the outside. So it keeps the body running at a nice even keel. So one of the things I like to say is that every so often we should clean up the liver or help clean up the liver. But I will also say that all of that, those toxins didn't get into the body overnight. Don't expect to get it out overnight. So it has to be done like a periodic cleanse. So the concept of detoxification is important. You know, you do it maybe once or twice a year, depending on what the animal is doing. If he is into a performance horse, they should be doing it maybe two or even three times a year. My suggestion is around spring, and then closer to the fall, and then closer to winter. We do it three times a year. One of the things that people don't realize, I mean, especially for older horses, it's important to do the liver cleanse because, you know, older horses, the livers don't work as good as when they were young, right? Horses that have problems with blood sugar control should also consider doing the liver cleanse. Did you know that the liver is responsible for pumping out a lot of that extra blood sugar to raise the blood sugar in your animal? So if you do the liver cleanse, it may help control some of that, just because it makes the liver work a little bit better. Right.
So are you thinking that, you're saying that maybe horses that have insulin resistance would benefit from having their liver cleansed?
Yeah, it will benefit them because it will make the liver work a little bit better. It's not necessarily, they're not necessarily going to see the blood sugars be high today and low tomorrow just because you did a liver cleanse. You have to remember that, right? What I'm trying to say is that if you make the body overall more healthy, it'll help with all of those issues. Right. Now, as far as the hormone health is concerned, again, the liver is responsible for the manufacture of a lot of different hormones also. So it is a good idea to keep the liver up and ready and running properly. So, you know, doing that liver cleanse is a great thing. One of the ways we know our omega alpha liver flush works well is because we periodically, when people pull their bloods from their horses, especially the guys who do who are in the racing game, they pull bloods on a monthly basis or on a weekly basis, depending on the horse and depending on the trainer. And what they have found in the past was that some of these horses have high liver enzyme levels. And normally with high liver enzymes, what they do is they basically put the horse out to pasture because there's really no meds per se to give to the horse. And then they come back maybe 3 or 4 months and then the liver enzyme level starts to drop. What we found is that if we put them on our liver flush, within the space of about two weeks or so, what will happen is that their liver enzyme starts coming down already. So you have a horse that is back in racing form fairly quickly. Now, to be fair, when you have high liver enzyme levels, the horse is not going to drop on you. It's just that they don't race as well. And if they don't race as well, that means, you know, you're going to be losing money because all you'd be doing is feeding this thing and it's not winning any money, all right? So usually the horsemen put them on the liver flush. Now, they have to use a lot higher dosages than we recommend. But this product is very, very safe. I always say to everybody, if my suggested dosage is, say, 15 ml twice a day, if you quadruple that for a month, no problem. The worst thing that will happen with your horse, he or she may have diarrhea. That's the worst thing that will happen.
So when you talk about cleansing the liver and how it's going to kind of make all the other organs work better, you guys have a product, and you said it was the liver flush. What type of things are in the liver flush?
It's basically a herbal-based formula. There's a lot of Chinese herbs, and so you probably will not know a lot of these Chinese herbs, but we do have things like milk thistle in there. We do have things like dandelion. So those are the things that most people will know. But there's a Chinese herb called Artemisia, which is very well known, and there's a whole bunch of other ones that are in there that is effective for the liver. Basically, what these herbs will do, they will help support the liver by giving it antioxidant support. It helps increase the metabolism of the liver, so it works a little bit harder to clean up whatever toxins there are in there. The concept of the cleanse is like, I always say to everybody, think of it like a house. If you clean your house on a regular basis, right, what you're doing is basically keeping ahead of the dirt, right? you probably will never get a spick and span house. Even when it was built brand new, there's probably dirt floating around in it, right? So what the liver cleanse does is basically you're trying to keep ahead of the dirt.
Now, I got a question for you, Dr. Chang. If my horse goes out and has a wild weekend and drinks way too much, if he does the liver cleanse on Monday, will that help?
It will definitely help. It won't cure your horse's need for alcohol, but let me put it this way. The horse can have a lot more alcohol before the liver calls it quits. Let's call it, put it that way.
Okay, good. Good. I just wanted to clarify that we were talking about my horse, okay? Just
definitely about your horse.
Yes,
is
exactly.
Is it horse in air quotes? Are you saying my horse when drinking?
Kind of air quotes, yeah. There. You didn't see those?
Yeah. So this is safe for humans, too. I mean, I could just, be putting it on my horse and then take a swig or whatever.
Actually, it came from the human side of our business. We do have a huge human line, right? So that's where it came from, because there's a lot of data in the scientific literature about what these herbs do. So that's where it first came out on the human side of the business, right?
Now, we do have to clarify that the human products from Omega Alpha are available in Canada, but not the United States at this point, right?
That's right. But it's coming. It is coming.
Okay,
soon
good.
To be there.
Oh, great.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, terrific. I look forward to that.
Now, sorry?
Not that our Canadian friends need liver flush. Not saying that.
No, definitely not.
No.
No, I'm just going to say that this is great. We'll do a human health segment with you as well on Monday.
Yeah.
This one's human, the next week's horse. I love it.
You know, that's not such a bad idea at the end of the day, because, whatever ails our horses usually comes from us too. We see the same things in us.
I told you, I've sampled a couple of your products, and like I said, I think it was the Gastra FX. I just really would like a little sweeter in that. It needs to be a little sweeter.
Don't worry, the horses aren't complaining. If the horses were complaining, we'd probably put a little bit more stevia in there. Yeah, we've switched out all of our sugars to stevia now, so you won't have the issues with blood sugar issues. So for those people where sweetness is an issue, we could always add more stevia.
Okay. Well, now I have stevia, so next time I take it, I'll just put a little bit in it and shake it up. It'd be perfect.
There you go.
Now, we were also going to talk a little bit about hormones and how that, I mean, is that tied in with the liver?
That is also tied in with the liver, because one of the things that the liver also does, it helps break down hormones. So things like the estrogens, right? When the horses get the hormonal surges, high estrogen effects, etc., the liver also takes some of that estrogen and breaks it down to a form which can then be excreted. So it helps deplete the body of estrogen, right? So that's another reason you want to keep the liver healthy, because of all of those monthly hormone surges with mares. Now, the mares that have what we call the witchy mares, okay? Now, there's the witchy mares. I mean, all the liver flush in the world probably is not going to break it down fast enough, the hormones, because the hormones are being brought up fast and furious. What you need to do is there's another product that we have called Premier, and what that will do, it'll give the body what's called phytoestrogens. These are what we call compounds that are estrogen wannabes. They're not full estrogens, so they're not as powerful as the estrogens, but they have some estrogenic effect. But the nice thing about these phytoestrogens is that they compete with the regular estrogens for what's called receptor sites on the tissues. And because it competes for these receptor sites, the net hormonal effect on your horse, on your witchy mares, is going to be less. And if your estrogenic effect is less, you may not end up having that witchy mare. You may have a mare that's a lot more controlled.
Interesting. So you have pretty much, not to keep pointing this back to humans, but I know some witchy mares in the human form, and they could probably take some of this too.
We do have a product for that too.
No names, please.
No, nothing out of my lips.
Now, Now, just on the other side of that, you have this for male horses as well, Glenn. So what is the testos boost for?
That's
for stallions exclusively?
No, it can be used for stallions. Mares can also do it with some of it because sometimes, you know, you have the mares that needs a little bit more attitude. Basically, what testosterone boost will do, it'll increase the testosterone production naturally in the animal. But it doesn't boost it up so high that you're going to get a positive drug test for testosterone or anything like that. The reason for it is because it's boosting it naturally. It's using the normal physiological mechanisms in the body to increase testosterone production. So what happens is there's so much checks and balances for testosterone production. What happens is that the best you can do is to push it up to the upper side of normal. And sometimes that's all you need, the upper side of normal for testosterone. Right, and testosterone, the testosterone boost also uncouples testosterone from testosterone binding protein. Now, the reason that's important is because as testosterone floats around in the blood, a small percentage of it is actually what's called free testosterone, not bound to any protein. And most of the testosterone floating around the blood is bound to a protein called testosterone binding protein, and it's also bound to something called albumin. Now, what happens is that with this testosterone boost product, it uncouples that testosterone binding from the protein to make it free testosterone. And free testosterone is what's gives you active testosterone. All right, so you get a double whammy. You increase your normal levels of testosterone to a higher normal, upper normal, and you also have a little bit more active testosterone floating around. So, you know, if you want a horse with a little bit more attitude, you can give him testosterone boost. All right?
Testosterone boost. Okay, and now is this going to solve the problem of all those commercials that tell you, this is the testosterone booster for men. Have better sex with your wife if you take this. Is that something that could work for the men too?
Well, not from my lips, but it could, right?
Are you the one sending out all that spam email I get, Dr. Chang? Is that you?
Yeah, exactly. It's naturally formulated.
The question you ask is, how do I know you need it, eh?
Yeah. Hey, before we wrap this up today, by the way, you can find all of those products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com is where you go to find it. And Dr. Chang, before we wrap it up today, I got to say that something really, really cool happened with a friend of ours and also one of your ambassadors, Dan James, at the Kentucky Reining Cup Freestyle World Championship that happened last weekend, same time as Rolex, at the Kentucky Horse Park. If everybody remembers, when we did our live report from Road to the Horse, Dan James came on, and he was in a wheelchair. He had a horse rear up and take him out and hurt his leg, and he needed several operations and everything. Well, he rode for the first time in front of an audience at the Kentucky Reining Cup freestyle. He did a freestyle. Get this. He walked out on crutches to the center of the arena, usual Dan James theatrical fashion. His horse, which was, let me see, this is Top Gunner, came out, get this, Jamie, in front of the whole audience, lays down. Dan James gets on. His horse stands up because he can't really get on the horse any other way, and he rides his freestyle. He won the People's Choice Award for the second year in a row at that competition from his bridleless performance while riding with his injured knee. So there you go. And he is a big Omega Alpha user. He loves Omega Alpha products. He talks about them all the time. And I know he's one of your ambassadors because I had a chat with him there at Road to the Horse. But, yeah, what a show, huh?
Yeah, for sure. I'm sorry I couldn't make it to that thing. Where was I? I know where I was. For that whole week, I had to be here because everybody who runs the company was on vacation.
I know Patty Hanco was down there. I know she was covering that event, and really, really cool. And good job, James. It's good to see him back on a horse again.
On our U.S. Sales manager, Jeffrey Grimes, was also down there, right? So
yep.
We had a full crew down there.
Well, terrific. Well, congratulations. I know that I know that Dan James is a big supporter of yours and of the products and uses them on all his horses. And look, they win stuff.
Well, I just I hope Dan gets better very quickly, because I know he's sorely missed.
Yeah, and that was a nasty accident he had. Yes. It really was. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. OmegaAlphaEquine.com is where you can find the products that we were just talking about. Dr. Chang joins us once a month. If you want to listen to some of the past episodes that he's been on, just go to horsesinthemorning.com and put in Dr. Chang in the search, and it'll bring up all the past episodes and what he talked about, and you can go back and listen to them all right there. And we've been doing this for quite a while. I'm actually very excited that if, keep our fingers crossed, the products end up here in the United States, and I know you had some regulatory stuff to go through there, the human products, I'm excited to actually start talking about the human side. Because, you know, as athletes and riders, that's just as important as your horse.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So, but especially for people, I mean, as I said, whatever ails the horse also ails the people.
Yeah, I'm excited to start chatting about that. So let's hope that happens soon, Dr. Chang.
Will do. Take care.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much, Dr. Chang. You're the best.
Well, let's take a break for our song. I have one we haven't heard before by Templeton Thompson that I never know she did. I never knew she did. And I found this CD that I had lying around that had a whole bunch of songs on it that we've never played. So we're going to play one. And it's not the one you're thinking of, so do not panic, Jamie. It's called Like a Cat, but it's not Barn Cat, okay? So it's not. I wouldn't do that to you on a Monday. Maybe on a Wednesday, but I wouldn't do it to you on a Monday. So we'll be right back. We have Leslie from the Wacky World of Horses coming up next, and we're going to talk about something other than Rolex and the Derby. So we're going to get back in the normal swing of things, talking about all of their weird articles over there at Horse Nation.
Coach Jen here, and as is our habit, Debbie from EquestrianCollections.com has stopped by with the EquestrianCollections.com product of the week. What have you got for us, young lady?
Well, hi, Jen. I am going again with a theme this week of the American flag type of products, because I know people will be wanting to ride in parades at both Memorial Day and 4th of July, and you need to get your stuff now as soon as possible so that they don't sell out. So this week I'm featuring the Equine Couture Cadet Saddle Pad. All-purpose. This is an all-purpose pad. As our listeners know, I love saddle pads. I have every color of the rainbow, so I'm always featuring them on the product of the week. But this one is particularly good for parades for this time of year, the patriotic time of year. It comes in three different colors. It comes in white with a red band with stars. It comes in red with a white band with red stars, and it comes in navy blue with a white band and navy stars. So you have different options of the different color combinations, but all of them are patriotic, and all of them will work perfect for your parade. I know a lot of clubs are now doing those combined parade type things where they go on the parades and they have little things they do, you know, crossing over and stuff. And this would be perfect for a group of four or five that does this stuff, and it would be great. So wanted to give a heads up. We have a lot of red, white, and blue items on our website, www.equestriancollections.com. But this is the one that I'm featuring for this week.
There you go. The Equine Couture Cadet Saddle Pad, and it's an all-purpose pad for a mere schmear, $39.95, and your choice of red, white, and blue with stars across the middle. Thanks a bunch, Debbie.
I do every
That was Templeton Thompson with a new song that we're playing called Like a Cat. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. And we are brought to you today by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Wanted to give you a programming note, the Stable Scoop Radio Show, all about our second look at Lyme disease in people is out. It's doing very well. So head on over to StableScoop.com or on your app just to go to the Stable Scoop logo there, and you'll see the most recent episode is Lyme in People, and we did an update, and we had a couple of people on, including Reese Koffler Stanfield's sister, Lindsay, who has been fighting with chronic Lyme for years and years and years, and I've been conversing with her since the show, and we're going to get her started on the Lyme diet, so hopefully she feels better. We also had Robin Donahue's husband on talking about his fight with Lyme, one of our listeners, and he talked about his fight with Lyme as well as his children's. They all three had it, so they are constantly going to doctors and trying to take care of their chronic Lyme situation, and we talked about the changes over the last couple of years. And basically, if you've had anybody that you know that's had chronic Lyme or you're dealing with that yourself, then I would advise you to take a listen to the Stable Scoop Show at stablescoop.com. Jamie, one quick thing here before we get to Leslie. I just saw that the Derby ratings, the TV ratings, are in, and you're going to be happy to note that NBC Sports says that it's the highest ratings since they started in 2001. They started doing the broadcast in 2001. It got a 10.8 share, and that is the highest. And they said it's also the highest ratings since 1992 when ABC had the telecast. So it did very well. Now, the interesting part I saw was the top five local markets for this, the markets that did the best for the TV ratings for the Kentucky Derby, where obviously Louisville was first. You know, you would expect Louisville to be first. Fort Myers, Florida was second, which just goes to prove that old people watch the Derby, and like me. Cincinnati, Ohio was third, kind of out there. Maybe because it's so close to Kentucky. West Palm Beach, Florida came in fourth in Kentucky Derby watching, and Dayton, Ohio. So Florida and Ohio seem to be the top ones for watching the Kentucky Derby. Why that is, I have no idea, other than we have the most gamblers, maybe. So
I would have thought that Louisville was not one of the top ones because everybody's there.
Was there. That's right. 160,000 people are not watching their TV sets. But you know what they say? You know what they say is that Kentucky Derby Day is not a day for locals. That's the tourist day, that the Oaks is the locals' day that they come out.
Oh, so that's true.
Maybe
that's
true.
My girlfriend who lives in Louisville, I texted her. I'm like, are you there? She's like, no, I'm at home. So I guess you're right.
I think that's it. All right. I know a girl that was probably watching it, and she doesn't live too far from West Palm Beach, so she probably added to those ratings, and that's Leslie from Horse Nation.
What do you mean? She lives in Tennessee.
Horses.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. I was thinking of someone else.
I was thinking of Emily.
These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
I'm sorry, Leslie, I moved you to South Florida.
That's fine with me.
You moved to West Palm Beach.
Pack my bag right now. I'm ready. Yeah.
After this winter, even in Tennessee, you're ready to move.
Oh, yeah.
Well, howdy, Leslie. It's been a while. Of course, we have Leslie on from Horse Nation with the Wacky World of Horses every Monday. But we missed you for a couple of weeks here. You were out covering Rolex and recovering from that. And then we had the Derby. I mean, you've been busy.
It has been. Gets wild April, May around here in this horse world we all live in. It's crazy times.
And I know you were had a ton of articles about the Kentucky Derby and, of course, about Rolex in addition to all the regular stuff. So I imagine your little editor pen ran out of ink over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. You might say that.
You're not even old enough to remember things being edited without a computer.
Well, that is true. That is true.
Oh, that makes me sick. Okay. So now let's get off of Rolex and off of the Kentucky Derby. People are now going to be tired of hearing about it, and let's get on to some of the other things that did pretty well over on Horse Nation. And the one is you had the idea of order when it comes to shopping.
Yeah. Morgan does, she does a comic for us every Wednesday, and just doing a little making some sort of commentary on horse life that's usually pretty humorous. And this past week, hit a little close to home for me, and I'm sure many of our readers. The topic of this past week's comic was shopping for yourself versus shopping for your horse. And so in the first frame, it's got, a girl shopping for, she's looking at a dress, and she's like, yeah, she can tell she's like kind of loving it. She's like, yeah, but I shouldn't spend the money. She's like wearing her like dirty, ratty jeans and covered in horse hair. But then it's funny how when we're shopping for our horses, all that frugality just goes out the window.
I got to tell you, Leslie, this one hit home. Because in the first flame, she says, I shouldn't spend the money on the dress, and her boyfriend or her husband or whatever is going, that's cute, you should get that. And then in the second one, she's going to buy another bridle. It's a different color. It's a brown one. And she says, I need a brown one. And he says, don't you have four bridles for one horse? I cannot tell you over the last 30 years how hard it has been to get my wife shopping for clothing, her clothing for herself, other than Goodwill.
Right.
She'll voluntarily go to Goodwill. I don't know what it is about horse girls and Goodwill. You know, we have known some very, very, very wealthy horse girls. I mean, very
mm-hmm.
wealthy, that go to Goodwill. And,
yeah.
You know, they could shop anywhere they wanted, but they go to Goodwill. And I don't get it. I cannot get her to buy clothes yet. The tack shop every week, visit to the tack shop.
Yeah. I mean, my problem is, like, I really have a shoe shopping problem. In that, unlike many girls' shoe shopping problems, I cannot bring myself to buy shoes for myself. Like I have like.
Oh, you don't buy too many. You don't buy any.
No, I don't buy any. No, my horses get new shoes every 5 or 6 weeks. But me, like I like literally have like 2 pairs of shoes, and I cannot bring myself to buy any more. I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm fine with 2 pairs.
How many pairs
good.
Of riding shoes do you have,
and,
Leslie?
Yeah, is one of them a pair of paddocks, too? I mean, does that count as one of your 2 pairs a pair of paddocks? I don't think that counts.
Well, no. I have a trusty pair of Vans coats that I feel like can carry me across all the areas of my life.
That's what dance goes were made for. They're really the kind of buy shoes. They'll go horse
mm-hmm.
or they'll go regular. You know, they'll go either way.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know that dance goes have ever been compared to a sexual reference before, but what the heck? Somebody's got to be first, right? You know what? I have a fetish. If I have a fetish for anything in the horse buying world, it's halters. I would have 25
really?
Halters for my pony. I just love halters. I love all different kinds of halters. And, you know, when my halter gets dirty, it's like, oh, I got to buy a new halter. Jennifer's like, there's nothing wrong with the halter, but it's dirty. And, you know, cleaning it's not an option. So, you know, you have to go buy a new one. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
time. Who would want to do that?
You've got a halter for every day of the week. Here's your Monday
That's
halter.
Right.
Here's your Tuesday halter. don't want to be seen in the same home twice.
That's a Christmas idea. I'm going to get, because you can get them custom embroidered. I'm going to get PT Scooter 7 halters, and each one's going to have a day of the week.
Embroidered. Scooter Monday, Scooter Tuesday, Scooter Wednesday. Yep. Yeah, get a little tag put on. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. A different color for each day, too. You know, the best halter she ever got me was, she had a custom made, too. Here, you can do that in Ocala because we have all those stores here. But she had a one custom made that has the nose that unbuckles, too, so you can use it as a grooming halter. That I will never have anything for grooming or tacking up or anything that isn't the one that has the. Do they have a special name, Jennifer? Those halters.
A lot of people call them driving halters.
Huh.
But in Europe, it's just a head collar. It's very common in Europe. Yeah.
Yeah, where it unbuckles at the nose. It's just so handy. I really like it. Everybody should own one of those, and one of each color. You should own one of those in colors, too. All right, next is up is, Jamie should have fun with this one. The second one is Ask at the Equishrink. I love that name, by the way. Warm-up arena anxiety. So who is the Equishrink? And warm-up arena anxiety is something that Jamie has certainly lived through on a regular basis.
Yeah, we do. Dr. Adamson, she's a psychologist and a USDF gold medalist dressage rider. So, so she knows what she's doing and has managed to combine the two as a sports psychologist. And so she's been writing a Q&A column for us. Folks write in their questions, and she's just always has amazing advice. And this time I think we can all relate to this. Like everyone has been traumatized by the warm-up ring at some point in their life. I certainly have one. Like it really strikes, like it's a real thing. Like I get, like as if being at a horse show, getting ready for your dressage test isn't already stressful enough. You know, you go in and you're afraid you're going to get run over, you know, or slammed into. It's all happened to me before.
Some 17 and a half hand warm blood is going to take your little horse out. Is that it?
Yeah, exactly.
Or you're the one who you're afraid you're going to run over people. It happens both ways.
That is true, also.
I don't want to be that girl.
Nobody
now
wants to be that girl.
She makes recommendations here about what to do in the warm-up ring, and I got to ask you too. One of the things that stuck out at me is she goes, you know, how long to do canter 10 minutes and trot work 5 minutes and this 10 minutes and, you know, walk at a loose rein 10 minutes and everything. Well, it all added up to a total warm-up time of 45 minutes. That seemed a little long to me because most of Jennifer's horses – she didn't want to spend 45 minutes in the warm-up ring with them. She was like, okay, I got 5 minutes in the warm-up ring, and then I'm getting in the arena. Were yours that way? Do you spend that long?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what she's saying is, you know, like, obviously every horse's plan has to be different, but going in with a plan, you know, whether it's 45 minutes, whether it's 15 minutes, you know, whatever works for your horse, going in and sort of having a game plan so you don't just, you know, like, that's the worst. I'll go in and just feel overwhelmed and throw my plan out the window. And, you know, so just having a plan, whatever that looks like for you and your horse, and then sticking with it.
And then you just kind of end up doing random crap.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That was your plan, random crap.
Now, in Jamie's case, with several of her horses, she's gone in with a plan, but the horse did not have the same plan. See, that's the problem. You got to let the horse know the plan. I mean, you got to have a discussion first about the plan. You need the board so he can see it with it all written down. I think that would help, maybe.
Yeah.
The horse.
That would absolutely help. If you can figure out how to do that, let me know, because I would like to let many horses know the plan.
Yeah.
Here we go. We're going to start out with 5 to 10 minutes of trot, loosening up, and then we're going to go ahead and do a relaxed canter and work on some transitions. No, we're going to bolt back to the barn.
And then we're going to spin a circle. And then we're going to try not to run over somebody. And then we're going to spend the next 5 minutes apologizing to everybody. And then we're going to spin some more circles.
Yeah. And if you could apply that plan, so if you could get your horse, you know, I like the idea of, like, going into stall, like, hanging up the whiteboard, being like, here's the plan, the warm-up. Like, if you could just apply that also in a broader sense, like, here's our life plan. Like, we're going to do, you know, 3 events at novice level, and then we're going to successfully move up to training and, like, have this flow chart that eventually ends at Rolex or whatever.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and your horse is just nodding its head, like, okay, I got it. All right. So, what we aim, so we're thinking, you know, 2020 for the Olympics. That's at the bottom of the like, okay, I got this.
What do they say? The quickest way to make God laugh is to tell him your plans. Same with the horse. Same with the horse.
So true.
I gotta tell you too, Leslie. It was on Horse Nation looking around. We talked about Dan James a little bit ago and the ride he had on Top Gunner last weekend. You guys have that at on your website at horsenation.com, so you can see that video. Just check that out. Scroll down and you'll see it. And then also,
I love
the one
that
I know, wasn't it great? And then the one that did very well for you guys and probably surprised you a little bit, and was an article called "Kate and the Gate: Body Image, the Show Ring, and Why Something Has to Change." Were you surprised? That has 33,000 views. Were you surprised about that?
Absolutely not. No.
Really?
Kate,
okay.
Kate's a hunter jumper columnist. She writes a great blog called Kate at the End Gate. And I think that, I mean, it may be surprising to you, Glenn, but I think that, you know, a lot of girls and women who have come up through riding, like, I think we've all sort of experienced this pressure to be the right shape, the right, you know, the ideal body type. For riding, you know, it's tall,
oh, yeah.
Like long legs, you know, and I think that that's something we've all encountered, and that's what she's sort of, so Kate in this column that just really took off and resonated clearly with a lot of people, she grew up riding on the, you know, on the Hunter Jumper A circuit, and I think there especially because there's, you know, aesthetics are, certainly in play there more than they are even, you know, in eventing or just jumpers, but, you know, in the Eck Ring and the hunters, you know, it's all about making this a nice picture for the judge. And so she felt like, you know, she just has seen a lot of, you know, trainers getting down on their, these young girls about losing weight. And, you know, she talks about her own experience of just feeling like she wasn't, you know, wasn't the right size, you know, the right shape for the show ring. And, you know, I think there's a lot more sort of disordered eating that goes on with our young riders than we probably acknowledge. I was not surprised at all. But what she was talking about is really sort of changing that paradigm that, you know, it doesn't have to be about, it's about being fit, you know, being.
Skinny as a 2x4, you
yeah,
know.
Not skinny, fit and healthy. She started this.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that. She started this blog that to support that called Riders for Wellbeing.
Yeah.
And it's a group of equestrians that are out to support positive body image. And I love that she gave it that title, too, Positive Body Image, as opposed to
mm-hmm.
any, you know, which really opens it up to anything, you know, not
mm-hmm.
limiting it to one
right.
thing. So,
right.
Oh,
right.
My gosh. I'm reading these comments under this, and I'm getting mad. Some person named Melissa clearly did not read the article because she's like, yeah, it's important to be thin and fit and healthy, and I feel so bad for horses that carry heavy people around. And everybody's like, you're an idiot.
Wow.
It's such a polarizing thing. You know what? When I look back, because I had body issues as a teenager, I always thought I was too short and too thick. I always felt mm-hmm. in my head that I was short and thick. And I look mm-hmm. back at pictures, and I'm like, I wish I would have known how awesome I looked back then, because it only gets worse as you get older. The frustration just gets worse. Like, I look back, yeah. and I'm like, I look at pictures, I'm like, oh, my gosh, why did I have body issues? I was so, like, fit and nice-looking, and, I mean, I would have never been, like, real thin, but I I've always been short, but I look back, and I'm like, I wish I would have known how good my body yeah. was back then, and yeah. embraced how I felt, but it doesn't matter who you are. Mm-hmm. As a girl, you are made to feel, if you're too tall, you're too tall. If you're too short, you're too short. If you're mm-hmm. thin, you're too thin. You know, I mean, it never works. But I always felt mm-hmm. short and thick. And looking back, I'm frustrated. And, you know, I love the last line in the article. They quote Oprah. And who better to quote than, you know, mm-hmm. goddess Oprah? Love yourself for who you are, not what you wish you could or should be. And that's absolutely mm-hmm. true. You are you. Your whole mm-hmm. life, might as well love you.
Right.
It's so true, and I get so frustrated with people who make judgments on people for their weight.
Well,
or for
and
the
I think the
look.
perfect example of that was in the comments in your article here on Horse Nation was, I won't say her name, but it was a girl who, and this is the thing too, you make judgments, but you don't know that person's story. Here's a girl that 10 years ago was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Well, because of the drug she's taking for the cancer, she got 50 pounds heavier. She can't find mm-hmm. anything that fits. She can't find show clothes that fit, but she's still riding, and she's a cancer survivor, but unfortunately losing weight because of the meds is very difficult. So, you know, nobody knows her story when they just see her yeah. in the ring, but yeah, here's a cancer survivor at a very young age, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it. It was going around Facebook, and I shared it a while ago because, you know, sometimes you don't see many positive things on Facebook, and this message came across, and I just thought it's so true. And it is, be nice to everyone, because you never know what's going on. You never know their story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely yeah. the case with everything. You know, you see, I was at this hunter show, and there was a woman who was heavier on a big horse, and she was working so hard, and I was so proud of her for getting out mm-hmm. there and doing it and making it happen and getting out there and showing. And, you know, it's inspiring to me to watch people, you know, face their fears and face their demons. And I hate wearing riding pants. I feel like a pet mm-hmm. slob in riding pants. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to do it. You just got to put your ears, put them on.
When I used to be in sales, Jennifer knows this story. Years ago when I used to be in sales, I used to be in investment sales. I used to go to people's homes. And I learned very quickly you can't judge people by their homes either. So I went into this house that it was a hoarder house, basically. There was like no room for me to sit. I had to move stuff off of the chair to sit down, and we had this tiny little section of the table turned out eventually to be one of my largest investors. Had tons of money, just that's the way they chose to live. I mean, that's just the way they chose to live. So you can't judge. You're right. Absolutely right about that, Jenny. You just can't judge that way. One other story. I worked for a bank doing investments in Harrisburg at a downtown branch, and there was a homeless guy that used to come into the bank and go up to the teller, and he obviously was homeless. And I one day asked one of the other people, I said, "What's the story? Why is he coming in?" They said, "Because he's the richest person with deposits in our bank, and he was homeless, but yet he had millions of dollars in the bank. It's just how he chose to live. He just chose to live that way."
Yeah.
So, and he would
well,
take
I'm
money out.
Him. That's stupid.
But, you know, you never know, do you? You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Good article there. Good article written by Kate. Is it Kasnoff? Is that how you pronounce mm-hmm. it? Kasnoff?
So.
You have some mighty good writers now. How do you find them? Do they contact you, or do you contact them? How does it happen?
Ah, man, yeah. I mean, I really do. They're, sometimes I get contacted by writers. We've had a lot of, like, our sort of core group of writers have been with us since the very beginning, and then sometimes I'll read something, you know, some great, you know, blog online and reach out to them and see if we can republish something or if they'd like to start start contributing. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a combination of things. But yeah, I'm really really proud of the quality of writing we've had, and it's just amazing to me that we just keep coming. I mean, you'd think you'd run out of things to write about.
Well,
just, you know.
I was going to make a comment about your articles. Now, I'm looking back through the ones Leslie has written, and there seems to be a theme because the first one I found was how to make a mint julep. It was alcohol-related. And then if you go back a little, there's just a theme here with some of your articles, I'm just saying. You might
say.
I think she needs a liver flush. What do you think, Jamie? I think she needs a liver flush.
Liver flush. Did you see the one that I wrote for Vending Nation? That was basically I just went around and interviewed bartenders at Rolex.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. There's a theme.
Yep. I'm a professional. Don't worry.
We're gonna contact the Mega Alpha and have some of that liver flush sent down to you.
Not a bad
idea.
Thank
you, Leslie. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
By the way, I'll send you a link to the house I have picked out for you in West Palm. Okay.
Okay. So, yes. Sounds great.
We'll see you. Horsestation.com.
Okay. Bye.
Awesome.
All right, well, you know, there's a reason people like, and I hear this from a ton of different people, and that is they love Leslie's segment on Mondays. It's one of their favorite segments
of
the week, and it's just because, you know, she's so funny, and also the content. I mean, they do have some great stuff over there. It has to be one of the most popular blogs in the horse world. It really does.
There's another one that's you know, rivals it, and it's just, or tries to rival it, and it's just no comparison. It's just by far. They, you know, if you're seeing it on another website, it's because it's been done on Horse Nation, and that's how they've kind of come around in just such a short time. It's just everybody reads it. Everybody I know.
Right.
When I was put on the when they did the sheath cleaning song and embarrassed the heck out of me and put my name on there, I got so many phone calls from horse friends or texts. They're like, you're on Horse Nation and you're singing that song about sheep cleaning is terrible. But just goes to show you how many people around the country read this. It's amazing.
Oh, you know what? We haven't looked lately to see. Oh, the sheep cleaning song. Let's see what that's up to. Oh, let's see here. I'm taking a look to see. Oh, it doesn't say how many it's up to on the post itself. I can't see.
Because it's gone.
No, it's there. It's still there. I can play it if you'd like.
No, that's okay. No. Please don't. Hey, before we go, I just wanted to let you know, I went to, I'm so sick of horses. I did that horse show all day yesterday, and then I did a Clinton Anderson clinic on Saturday, and I actually went to the Clinton Anderson clinic because one of the really the most remedial and worst mash horses was actually the horse he used in the clinic. And it was super interesting to go watch. This is a mare who, when I went to take her picture down at mash, I went to photograph her, and she had a lead rope in the stall, which should have been my first clue. And I went to grab the lead rope, and of course she's totally head shy, so I grab the lead rope and I go to pull her out of the stall, and she rears straight up in the air. So any sort of pull pressure on this horse, she rears and flips over. And also you can't touch her face. And the girl who adopted her has had her now, gosh, 2 years, and still you can't catch her in the pasture. And you have to, when you go to put the halter over her head, you have to be standing, you have to start at her withers and wrap your head and around. It's tremendously complicated, I guess. So Clinton Anderson took her and used her as the first horse. And that's actually the only part I stayed for because I had the kid. He said that he has not worked a horse that difficult in 15 years since he was in Australia. That's the most difficult horse in the United States that he's worked.
Wow.
Mm, wow.
Poor Philly. I cried twice because you look at, so this was a mash horse that was severely abused, beaten, and starved, and then sent to mash, and they rehabilitated her. And this woman, God bless her, she's one of the vet techs at the local clinic, adopted her. This was, I have never seen a horse fight like this horse fought. He actually, you know, he does the like inside turns and outside turns. He kind of had to skip through that. And then he was trying to touch her face and he got her standing and turning facing him. And he was like, I'm just going to try to touch the air around her face. She swung her head right, left anytime he would try to touch near her face. It went on for like 20 minutes. And finally he's like, this is going to change when I get a lead rope on her. And he kept trying, kept trying, kept trying. Finally, he's like, that's it. He grabbed a hold of the halter, just the bottom of the halter, grabbed it. She reared up and double struck out at him with both front legs. Wham! And he's like, you bitch, give me the lasso. And he ended up having to rope her and was incredibly aggressive with the whip and getting her away from him and like moving away from him. And you could tell about half the crowd was like, because he was seriously aggressive and he made a really good point while he was doing this. And he's like, you know what? All of you tree huggers are going to go home and blog about how terrible and mean I am to this horse. He goes, you know what? I didn't do this to this horse. My job is to fix it. And he said, and this gave me goosebumps because he's totally right. He goes, you know where the next stop for this horse is the slaughterhouse. So I'm saving this horse's life. I'm saving this horse's life by doing this to this horse right now. And you know what? By the end of it, he was rubbing her on the head and leading her around. It was absolutely, but it took probably three times as long as they had allotted for the time. But what he's like, and he even said at some point, he goes, you know what? Most clinicians right now would quit at certain parts that he had, like, he's like, but it's not my thing. He's like, I've got to finish. I've got to get this horse to where I wanted it to get it. And he goes, she's had 9 years of practicing this behavior. 9 years. So she's not sick. She's not fixed at all, but she's got to practice being a good horse. And he just made some really nice points. And, you know, we've had some really great clinicians come into Phoenix recently. We had Buck Brandeman a couple weeks ago and a colt starting clinic I didn't get to go to. And then we had Monty and Noah Clinton. And I guess George Morris was here not too long ago. So I feel like Phoenix is getting his education on horses for sure. But to see this horse, he actually said, he's like, I always tell you guys to stand 45 degrees off their shoulder. That's why. Like, if he would have hit, I mean, seriously, if that mare would have struck him, he'd be in the hospital. It was that aggressive and that bad. And I was just super happy to see at the end how it went. But to know her story and to know how terrible her life was, I cried like three times in the whole thing because it was just so emotional to watch her struggle so much and suffer so much. And so I hope that she's turned a corner and Serena will be able to do some good stuff with her. But it was amazing.
Well, you had quite a horsey weekend. You need to go play golf today.
I'm sick of horses right now, seriously. Talking about him for an hour and a half, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go, I don't know. Yeah, I think I'll just do something non-animal related.
Leslie, she knows a lot of bartenders. Just meet up with Leslie.
Yeah.
You'll be good.
We're going to go shopping. I'm going to go shopping and then go to the bar. Genius.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Emily, with the jumping episode, will be here tomorrow. She's had some adventures over the last month, too, and she's going to tell us all about those and has a bunch of guests lined up for tomorrow morning. And then Jamie will be back on Wednesday morning. We appreciate you stopping by. Don't forget the free app. Go to the iOS or Android app store, download the Horse Radio Network app, and you'll find the Horses in the Morning show on there. Yeah?
Oh, my gosh. I just got a message from Uta that said they just named the princess Charlotte Elizabeth Diana.
Ah, so the third name, Charlotte, huh? Wow, you
Charlotte
know what, Charlotte? Charlotte's going to be the name this year. Every child's going to be named Charlotte in all of England.
Absolutely. Charlotte Diana. Love it.
There you go. That's a good name. I like that. Charlotte. Well, that's it for today. Thanks, everybody.
Bay, neuter, and geld. Have a great day.